Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Oh, this is bad. This is bad. This is so bad.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
That team came out and played a hell of a game. You know, we end up turning the ball over, having false starts. With a team like that on the other side, they make you pay, and they did that today.
Fourth and goal, fake to Montgomery.
Too easy.
To St. Brown, into the end zone. His third touchdown today, and there he goes.
Right into the leap zone.
That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Listen, anytime you lose a game like that, man, it's a kick in the teeth. Nothing about that feels good.
That's an understatement.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
When you play a good team on the road and you have turnovers and you don't convert on fourth down and you give up explosive plays on defense, you know, it can go sideways in a hurry. And that was really the name of the game.
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell, joined by Mark Carman of CHGO and WGN Radio. Carm's live at Halas Hall Football Friday. Bears getting set for the Cowboys on Sunday. And Carm, it already feels like week three. They're in desperation mode. Would you agree?
Yeah, this does feel must-winny here. And, Kev, I got to tell you that I'm hearing myself back, and there is a blower going on situation. So I'm not sure how much you're picking that up on your end. That's a lot better. There, I sound better. I hope this sounds okay. We're going to walk around and try to find a quieter place and hope that the ground screw here is able to get their duties done.
They keep the grounds immaculate at Halas Hall. It's beautiful.
They do. They absolutely do. So, it's not a huge surprise that the Bears are 0-2, I don't think, to anyone, but it doesn't feel great, and it's going to feel a whole lot worse if they can't get a win in a winnable game, right, against the Cowboys. So we are entering the must-win so Bears fans calm down and everybody can settle in the season mode. Let's go with that.
It's amazing we're already at that point, and it's an early bye week, just 2 weeks away. They'll have Cowboys and the Raiders. And a win Sunday takes a lot of pressure off of everybody, Carm. And they win the next two, and everybody's feeling much better going into the bye week. Do you think they're going to win Sunday at home?
So it's kind of hard to pick the Bears to win a football game right now, right? Your top cornerback, Jalen Johnson, is out. Your number one tackling linebacker, DJ Edwards, is out. Your quarterback is still finding his way. Your head coach is still trying to get his culture administered, talking about, yeah, we need to practice harder. We do not have the practice habits of a championship caliber team. That was interesting that Ben Johnson put that on the table this week. So that being said, I am taking the Bears to win this week because I can't get myself to dial further into the negative, and nobody knows what's going to happen on Sunday. I do think there is a certain level of intensity that you felt out at Halas Hall this week, and the Dallas Cowboys are not, you know, going to be a playoff team, you wouldn't think, this year. So it is a winnable game, although, you know, when you look at the numbers on the Bears winning a shootout, games where they got a, you know, the other team scores 30 points and the Bears score 30 points, I believe Brad Biggs had a note in this piece that they've lost 49 in a row of those. So that's not great, Kevin.
No.
I think the key to Sunday, a big key, is going to be the Bears defense playing a whole lot better, obviously, than they played last week against Detroit.
What did you think of Ben Johnson calling out the players earlier in the week? I think most Bears fans heard that and liked hearing that from the head coach early on. Two disappointing games. Things aren't going the way you want it to go. Call them out. And the players were asked about it. Some of them were like, wait, what did he say? And it was kind of surprising, too, because Johnson had brought such a different sort of intensity throughout training camp. And we were all there. We talked about it, some of those intense camps, intense camp practices when they were going 100%, which you don't see often. I mean, there was a practice they went full go for 2 hours. To hear about practice habits not being there through the first 2 weeks was a little, I don't know, alarming.
Yeah, I mean, I love that he did it. And it's kind of hard in our position because we get to see training camp, and they still looked like they were trying hard in training camp, right? You were out here a bunch, and it didn't look like they weren't giving great effort. However, you know, the other side of it is when you go into the Bears locker room, and, you know, if I date back 4 years now, from, you know, Matt Eberflus's, shout out to Flus, 3-14 year, you just would never know that the Bears are actually a losing football team. It's very cavalier in there, which maybe that's totally normal, but it does, when you put it against the backdrop of, you know, they've now lost 12 of their last 13 games, I do wonder, you know, and if they're, you know, that culture change that Ben's trying to bring has finally landed. And it just seems like they're still, you know, trying to find whatever, you know, next level of accountability and practice habits and all of it. I still think they're searching for it. And Ben calling it out this week, you know, kind of gives some validity to that. So hopefully, you know, these guys have a ton of pride. But, you know, they also, when you lose a lot, it gets a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, and I think through two games, I know he received the contract extension in the offseason. Everybody's lined up now, which was the goal to get the GM, the head coach, and the quarterback all kind of lined up. But you look at the lack of production out of the highly paid players, and it hasn't been good. Has Montez Sweat been a serious difference maker? No. Has Tremaine Edmonds? No. The best player on defense is out for a significant amount of time, if not the entire season, in Jalen Johnson. So you start to have those thoughts creep in, Carm. Like, is there a serious talent evaluation problem with the front office? A punter you took in the fourth round when you could have went a different route. And obviously the big story right before the season that came out too. So, you know, Ben Johnson can only do so much, right? Like, the personnel is the personnel that's put together by the front office. It's year one for Ben Johnson, but they need production out of the highly paid players. Montez Sweat needs to be a difference maker. Grady Jarrett got a big 2-year deal on the back end of his career. Let's see some difference makers out there Sunday. Let's see some guys making plays, because the lack of a pass rush was alarming in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, what you're teeing up, I mean, look, there's a tear down and a rebuild and all of that in here. But, you know, the famous word that Ryan Poles said was that we're going to take the North and give it back, never give it back, which was an insane comment because that's not how NFL works. You don't get to take a division and never give it back.
Unless you're the Chiefs.
Right, well, right, unless you, well, you know, and that could go back in time that they had drafted Patrick Mahomes, maybe they could have done that. But in reality, that doesn't happen. So, you know, maybe a more realistic statement would have been, Nick, you know, we plan on, you know, being up top the division and often or something of that. But that's how he said it. And then you take that and you look at the record against the division since he's been here, and Poles and Bears are 3-17 when they play the Packers, the Vikings, or the Lions. And that's just, that's getting tougher to stomach as the years go on and you expect the play to rise up. So, and then you look at what you're talking about, like where they've invested their money. And, you know, I made a big deal, or not a big deal, but I pointed out that when the Bears announced their captain, it's none of their captains are their highest paid players, which, you know, ideally you would want the guys that you're paying the most to be the leaders in that locker room, considered by the players. That was voted on by the players, and that's not what happened here. So, you know, Joe Tooney, who's been here for all of 5 seconds, was voted a captain. Kevin Byard, who's an old safety, was voted a captain. Cairo Santos was voted a captain. The kicker, I mean, I guess you need a kicker and a special teams captain, but, you know, whatever. That's not exactly very impactful. And then it's Caleb. You have to make the quarterback the captain, right? And then your other, who am I missing? It doesn't matter. It's not Montez Sweat. It's not DJ Moore. It's not the guys that you really need it to be. So, look, this is, people can point a lot of fingers, but ultimately Ryan Poles put this roster together. And if it doesn't get a whole lot better, then even with a contract extension, it just does not look good for the Bears GM at this point.
What have you thought of Caleb through 2 weeks?
I thought he was better in week two. He seems to be a little bit more comfortable. Obviously not there yet, but I did think it was a step forward in week two. And I'm very interested to see what happens this week with, you know, going up against the Flus, who knows him well, and it's going to make him read defenses, and they'll be back at home, so it's not going to be a silent count. He's going to, you know, have to get out of the scripted plays after that's done and run the offense. So, but, you know, it's as far as, you know, when you watch the game and then watch it back, I did think that week two was positive. So we'll see if he can build on it this week.
Yeah, he definitely looked more committed to the pocket in week two, where week one they had the great opening drive, and then it's like Caleb prefers to be off script, and in week one you saw him bailing from the pocket way too early. And that's the stuff we heard about Caleb coming out of college, right? That he just sometimes feels like he has to put the entire play on his shoulders, and we know he can make all those special throws, but week two definitely was sticking in the pocket a little bit longer. You mentioned Flus too, which I thought it was very Flus. He was asked about coming back to Chicago, and he's like, I hadn't really thought about it much. I'm like, what are you talking about? You haven't thought about it at all? You're coming back to Chicago where you were the head coach. And it was this classic Flus, either just dodging the question or he really hadn't thought about it. You're coming back to Chicago. You were the first head coach fired in season here in town. So I don't know how it couldn't mean a little something extra for him.
I think Matt Eberflus hasn't slept all week and is frothing at the mouth to beat the Bears. That's what I think. If I was the Flus, I would, you know, that I would be extremely motivated to beat the Bears and show them that, you know, hey, that's right. I was 14-32 in Chicago, but look at the roster you gave me. It's a miracle that I got us to 7 wins in year two. And even last year, I had us in a zillion games, and you all want to blame me for not taking the time out. But look, I'm not going to even take the full blame for that either. And when I got fired, you guys lost 4 of the final 5, and now you've gone out and paid $13 million for a coach, and you're 0-2. So, it would make me feel happier than if I could get you to 0-3. That's where my mindset would be if I were Matt Eberflus. And what was the question they asked him? How have you thought about your reception? I expect to be booed by Bears fans who want to put the blame on me, and I hope to beat the Bears. Matt Eberflus has an inability to speak honestly to the media because he thinks the big bag media is going to, have some impact on his life that's really not going to happen. So anyway,
yeah, it's probably not a good thing that the highlight, the best thing that we've all kind of noted, is how great Ben Johnson is in the press conference. Like, that shouldn't be the highlight of the season, right. But it is night and day hearing Ben Johnson talk with the press compared to the previous couple of coaches. I'll just say that. Also, not to pile on the Flus, but, you know, there was talk about, you know, Flus might know Caleb's tendencies and he might be able to give the defensive side of the ball in Dallas, like, a good look at what Caleb does and doesn't do well. And that wouldn't concern me all that much hearing that from the Bears side, Carm. I don't know. It's just, I heard that. I'm like, what is Flus going to tell him that's like going to be some huge advantage over Caleb and Ben Johnson?
Well, right. There's no huge mystery here of what Caleb's good at and what Caleb's not good at.
It didn't seem to be all that scary of a thought, Eberflus giving some inside information to the Dallas coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, let's give the guy at least some credit.
Sure, I'm not trying to pile on, but it just, when you heard that, it wasn't like, oh man, they're really going to know everything about Caleb now.
Right. Well, it was interesting too when Caleb was asked about him this week, and he's like, Matt was my coach, and,
I think DJ sort of dodged the Flus question too.
I'm going in there to in a couple of minutes after we get off this call, I'm going to go into the locker room today and say, you know, last week it seemed like the Lions were extremely motivated to beat Ben Johnson. Is there any of that going on in here this week with Matt Eberflus?
There we go.
Because I would, because I would think there would be some of that in there. Like, I want to, you know, if I was a Bears player who talked about how we didn't have this and we didn't have that, I would think that you'd be highly motivated to, you know, put it on Matt Eberflus and the Cowboys this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And again, as we started the conversation, it does feel like they've got to have this one. And I was kind of surprised by the line when it opened up. Bears, depending on the book you looked at, were a point favorite. Now Dallas looks like a point favorite. But they think it's going to be close. And I don't think what happened in Detroit defensively is a reflection of what it's going to look like moving forward. I know they're down Jalen and Kyler and TJ. That's bad. But they weren't stopping anybody last week. And for as much as the offense came out and was moving the ball, there were more penalties, which has been a major issue through the first 2 weeks. And when you're staring down second and 32 and third and 34, whatever it was, that's tough for any offense. So they were moving the ball a little bit. They were in Detroit. But then when you're chasing and it feels like the defense is not going to get a stop, it just sort of spiraled out of control. And especially the way they finished going into the half, which was an issue against Minnesota. Remember the Vikings squeezed that field goal in leading into halftime. So I do expect a close game Sunday. And I don't think it's too much to ask of the top overall draft pick last year to just put together a complete game. And Caleb Layton Games has put the Bears in good position. You look back last year, all those games they could have won when Caleb got them downfield late in games. Let's see the top overall pick and the Heisman winner put a full four quarters together. You know, let's not start strong and then fall off and then pick it back up in the fourth quarter. Let's see number one pick Caleb Williams go out there and ball on Sunday.
Well, it is impressive that the first two drives to start the season, Minnesota and then Detroit, the Bears went down and scored a touchdown. They did not do that at all. One time last year, they did. In 17 games last year, they scored 6 total points. They had 2 field goals. So that's been an improvement. But to your point, as far as, you know, doing it throughout the game, they have not scored coming out of the halftime adjustments. Those have been, it's looked wonky to start the second half. So, maybe we'll see some progress. This week, Declan Doyle was talking about scripted plays. Maybe they'll script some plays to come out of second half to, you know, hey, no matter what the score is, this is what we're going to do come the third quarter. It'll be interesting.
That's Mark Carman from CHGO and WGN Radio. Follow him on Twitter. Carm's heading into the locker room at Halas Hall. Let you go, Carm. You are predicting a victory. I don't know if I'm there yet. I'll see how I feel Sunday morning, but I do expect a close game Sunday at Soldier Field. Carm, good to talk to you. Thanks for the time.
KP, you're the best.
That is Mark Carman from CHGO and WGN. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. And thanks again for listening. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.